presentation of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
You said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know, we can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
A good Tuesday to you and yours. Welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Glad to be with you. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Fun show for you here today. We are rested. We are refreshed. Holiday weekend is officially in the books, which means it's full speed ahead towards summertime. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure on this Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Cobra, how's your holiday weekend, sir?
Yeah, dude, it was awesome. I had a good holiday weekend, spent a lot of it at the golf course. I'm in between places right now, so I'm working with that too over the weekend. It was pretty busy, man, I got to tell you. But it was just nice. We had incredible weather. I had a really good weekend. How about yourself?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a really, really nice weekend just to kind of spend some family time with my daughters and my wife and everything else. And it was just nice to get out and not sweat on a walk. that was a nice change of pace. We went for a long walk because, you know, it's been either super uber-duber hot or rainy. I mean, this whole last week, it was all rain all the time, felt like. So didn't get an opportunity to take the dog outside for a walk. So it was just gorgeous. Not a whole lot of sweating, which is a good thing for me. I'm not trying to sweat when I'm just taking, you know, the dog for a walk and the daughters and everything else like that. So I had a couple of cold ones over the weekend and some nice coffee in the morning and just nice slow mornings. It was a nice change of pace. I loved it.
Slow mornings are big time. Right, you get up a little bit earlier. I mean, we naturally get up early, but then kind of enjoy that morning, kind of start the weekend or the day off, right? It's big time, man. There's no doubt about it. But, yeah, it was a great weekend.
Yeah, I actually got a chance to sleep in until I think it was 6:20 one day.
That's good.
Yeah, you know, Lucy then kind of got up, and she's like, Daddy. I'm like, oh, 6:20. All right, I got to sleep in an extra hour and a half, which was kind of nice. But looking forward to the weekend ahead of us here in the not-too-distant future. By the way, not to get political, but if I'm President Donald Trump, I think you got to make a mandate. I think you got to make a mandate at least once a month. You got yourself a 3-day weekend.
Yeah, we talk about this every single time we have that Monday off for a holiday. Just how nice it is. It's already Tuesday. Kind of got me, you know. I was saying happy Monday on my show.
I did that too.
I was like, geez, what are we doing here, Matt?
I know. I'm right there with you. I did drop in a happy Monday earlier on my shift for sure. But, yeah, I think this whole 4-day work week thing, I could get used to it every once in a blue moon for sure. He is Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Coming up towards the bottom of the hour, talking a little Bismarck Bobcats hockey as Brandon Luisi, the play-by-play gentleman for that Bismarck squad, he'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. And that was a team that was looking kind of dead in the water about a month or so ago. You're down 2-0. Coming back to Aberdeen, somehow, some way, they found a way to get the job done there. A couple breaks kind of happened their way. Let's just be honest. They had some good calls, I think some fortuitous calls. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's just the first round of the playoffs. They still had a whole lot of hockey to be played yet, and they certainly did, and they, of course, the Robertson Cup champs. We'll talk with the voice of the Bismarck Bobcats coming up towards the bottom of the hour. Man, it's hard to believe that's about a month or so ago at that Wings series. But
yeah,
it now that I even say that, just it doesn't sit well. You're up 2-0. You're coming back home, and this is the eventual Robertson Cup champs. Felt like you had them right on the ropes, and man, how close were they?
Yeah, you did have them on the ropes. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Just were unable to close, and it's amazing how that three-game run that they had where they won three in a row kind of sparked their whole playoff run because they were pretty much dominant since then. They did, I think, lose a game to Austin in there, but overall they really just played a nice series after the fact, and it's amazing how you go from, like you said, kind of in the dumps down 0-2 to hoisting a championship at the end of the season.
It happens fast, and life comes at you pretty fast, for sure, and it certainly did with them. So looking forward to that discussion towards the bottom of the hour. He is Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. Let's get to the jump on a Tuesday edition of the program. I had to check myself there for a second. I almost said Monday. But I will tell you, I think it was on Sunday, hanging out downstairs. Wife is taking a nap. Baby's taking a nap. My other daughter, who is going to be 2 years old in about almost 2 weeks. I think she was upstairs taking a nap, so I'm tiptoeing through the kitchen, trying to be very, very quiet, not trying to wake anybody. So I toss the TV on real quick. I'm eating my lunch. My wife has called me out for being a loud chewer. So I said, I'll eat lunch upstairs. I'm not trying to wake you downstairs. So I'm sitting there. I'm in my living room eating my chips, eating a sandwich. There's got to be some sort of sports on, right? So I toss the TV on, and it's the Indiana Caitlin Clarks against whoever they were playing. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, game's coming down the stretch. It was like a two-point game or a tie game with like 2 minutes left to go, and I was like, oh, perfect timing. So I toss the game on, entertaining finish. But the amount of complaining, Matt, I can't get over it. And I'm watching this two-and-a-half-minute, three-minute stretch in the end, and it's unwatchable, and it's the exact same thing in the NBA, and I tweeted this out. Professional basketball and the griping, the moaning, the screaming at officials, the arm flailing, I just can't get behind it. And there's so many times on this show I say, I'd rather watch a high school game. I'd rather watch Aberdeen Roncalli. I'd rather watch Aberdeen Central. I'd rather watch the Knights of Aberdeen Christian play a game against Groton or something like that. Rather watch a Northern State game. Rather watch an NSIC game. Mm-hmm. I just can't get behind the pro basketball because of all of the complaining, the moaning, the griping. Brittany Griner is being interviewed in a game here this last weekend, and the officials walking off the floor, and she pulls away from the microphone to yell at the game is over. Just what are we doing? And I get it. Every call is not necessarily one going to be one you always agree with, but not every call is a bad call. And I just get a really hard time watching professional basketball because to me it's kind of taking away with the product on the floor, which should be in theory pretty good, but it's not as good as it could be, I guess.
Yeah, I mean I tend to agree with you. There's a lot of complaining going on, and I think it has some to do with just the awful officiating at the pro level in basketball. I'm watching the Knicks-Pacers game on Sunday, and bad call after bad call. We got to go to the monitor, the challenge thing. It cracks me up in the NBA game. Like when there's a foul called and immediately the players goes like runs to the coaches and goes like this.
We got to review it.
And you know, you see it in the first quarter, you see it in the fourth quarter. Watching that Pacers Knicks game, the officiating was terrible. And I think that has something to do with these guys losing their minds. But overall, I'm with you. The constant complaining with the officials. I mean, it happens. I'm tired of it to a certain extent. It's just like, hey, play the game. But I'm not going to let the officials off the hook from what I've been seeing here the last couple games.
I think that's totally fair. Not every call is a terrible one. Not every call is a good one. Sometimes there is a time and a place to really gripe and really kind of put your foot down. But every single call is not the worst call in the world. And if you're an official, then you just tune it all out. Because if you've got a head coach or a player that's all up in your business with 11:16 left to go in the first quarter, going all in. What a terrible call that is. It's like, yeah, well, 2 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. Yeah, but in the first quarter, the first call of the game, you were screaming at me. Mm-hmm. So I tune that out if I'm an official, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think you have to. Or you tee them up early so you can kind of
set the tone.
I mean, you obviously don't want to be teeing people up towards in the fourth quarter in the clutch, but that's kind of the way I'm looking at it. I think it's a two-way street with the awful officiating and some of these players taking it to the extreme. So I agree with you for the most part.
Yeah, I'm right there with you as well. I think I tend to see your side both as well as mine, and I would also toss this out there. What else is troubling me? I wrote this down, and I was scrolling on X, and of course you've got the For You tab, and you've got the Who You Follow tab.
Yes.
So it usually, more often than not, it defaults to the For You.
Yeah, I can't stand that.
But something that troubles me is, let's say you're talking about a game, someone will tweet out, "What a shot! Terrible call! Unbelievable!" And then you look at X a couple hours later, and there's no context about any of that. Like, there's no hashtag, like, not hashtag Timberwolves, hashtag we back, hashtag, you know, OKC versus, yeah, you know, hashtag game four, whatever. It's just amazing. Terrible call. It's like, why do people, when you're watching a Ravens game or a Timberwolves game, are you on social media? Are you constantly scrolling while you're watching the game?
Not really. Not really.
But there are people that, like, they tweet out the play-by-play, but if there's no play-by-play, it's just, oh, my gosh!
with no hashtag.
No context.
I need
nothing.
Hashtag NBA Western Conference Finals. Then I can kind of understand what you're talking about. Unbelievable on what? What were you watching?
Right.
I'm not sure. I'm with you on that. You got to put a hashtag. But it is funny because you'll scroll. Sometimes I'll scroll, like, if I don't care about who wins the game and there's a great dunk or something like that.
Wow!
I'll see a wow. I saw that with Carl Anthony Towns dunked on, I think it was Siakam for the Pacers in that Sunday game where he went down the alley there in the fourth quarter. He went off. But people were saying, wow, amazing, and things of that with no hashtag. It's funny you bring that up because I saw it literally on Sunday.
Yeah, you see it all the time, and it's usually when you go onto the For You because it's like 9 hours old, but somehow it's at the top of your feed. Make that make sense. By the way, that just drives me crazy. Another thing that's troubling me, and I'm just going to leave it at this, ESPN really misses Stan Van Gundy and Mark Jackson. We were talking about this off the air. I miss those guys, man. I don't really watch the NBA. I'm not breaking any news there. Mm-hmm. But when I did, Van Gundy, Mark Jackson, and Mike Breen was like an all-star three-man booth. Three-man booths are kind of tough anyways, but those guys were like a hand in a glove together. I really loved listening to those guys, and now they're not there anymore, so I'm not there anymore either.
Yeah, and it just, when you heard those guys, it had the big game feel. Right, whether it was a game in January, playoffs, it didn't matter when. When those three got together, it just had the big game feel. And Mike Breen still does a great job, but just the trio that they have now with I think it's Richard Jefferson and Doris Burke. To me, it just isn't as good as those three, and I miss them too, man. You're right with the three man booth. I feel like you're seeing Kevin Harlan kind of struggled with that a little bit at the Eastern Conference Final because they got him, Reggie Miller, and Stan Van Gundy, mm-hmm. who's actually pretty good. But they're trying to pick their spots on when to go. But that was Breen, Van Gundy, and Jackson was like an orchestra, man. They were awesome.
So good. So good. And finally here, and we've talked about this a time or two on the program as well, getting back to the Timberwolves and OKC series. I saw this, and I thought to myself, maybe this person is onto something. As somebody named Evan, a.k.a. Ebo, on X, he tweeted out, if the NBA is smart, they'd kill the foul up by three in the offseason the same way the MLB killed the shift. Hmm. Who cares if it's smart and a good defensive strategy? You are there to be entertained. And I thought to myself, maybe you're onto something there a little bit.
Well, it's interesting. If you watched the game yesterday, the last minute took forever because it was just a foul fest.
Yeah.
And Oklahoma City missed a free throw late, and it allowed the Wolves to get possession, and they just did two quick fouls, and they pretty much ran out of time, and you know, obviously Oklahoma City was able to close it out. But I'm with you. The entertainment value with it, if you make a team play defense down three, I think it could be a lot of fun. I see the strategy behind it, though.
For sure.
I do see it, but it does make the viewing experience a little tough. That watched the end of that game last night. I got home and during the second half, and I watched the majority of the second half. But watching the end of the fourth quarter and that last minute was tough because of just the foul fest that was going on.
By the way, Timberwolves are down 3-1 now after losing last night 128-126. And I know there's this thing called the Elam ending. Are you familiar with the Elam ending?
I am not.
So in, I don't even call it summer league basketball, they do this 3-on-3 tournament. It was like a big thing during COVID because it was like kind of a return to basketball and this and that. They have this thing called the Elam ending. It's like the first team to 96 or the first team to 89 points wins or something like that. So you don't see that foul fest at the end of the games. Okay. And I'm thinking to myself, it's kind of weird. It's kind of chintzy. I'm not a big fan of it. And now the older I'm getting, I'm like, you know, maybe that Elam ending isn't the worst thing in the world. But I'm still trending towards the, I don't love the foul up by three. Like, if I'm broadcasting a Northern game and Coach Wilbur's fouling up three, I'm like, wow, that's a great plan.
Yeah.
But if I'm not a Northern fan and I'm just an NSIC fan, I'm like, this is kind of cheap.
Yeah, the viewing experience,
right.
it ruins it for you.
Yeah.
But when it's your team, you're like, oh, great strategy.
Great strategy.
And I feel like really every team should foul up three when you really think about it, just with, especially at the, you know, college and the pro level with these guys that have unlimited range. It feels like when you step over half court now, a guy can pull up. So I'm a believer in that and fouling up three, but it just makes the games go on and on. The last minute of that game took 20 minutes, it felt like, last night.
And I think my wife is starting to understand. Well, I shouldn't say starting to understand. I say, hey, there's 2 minutes left in the game. Well, you could be here for a half an hour. It's like the NFL sometimes. That's a 2-minute warning. I'll be up in 5 minutes. I'll be up in a couple minutes. No, it's going to be another hour. So ladies all over the place are like, you know what? Can we do something about this whole foul situation in the last couple minutes? So who knows? We'll have to wait and see. All right, upcoming next on the show, we're going to talk about some high school athletics from this last weekend as the Class AA State Tournament wrapped up on the high school tennis side of things. Aberdeen Central, their golf squad continued very solid success down south in Brandon. Matter of fact, they'll be in action here today with the ESD tournament. We'll talk about that and much more coming up next. Plus, Brandon Luisi towards the bottom of the hour talking some Bismarck Bobcats hockey. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial. He's the Cobra, Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Glad to be with you on this Tuesday installment of the show. You can follow us on the X at Fox Sports 1420 AM, at @_Cobra66, and at David Tewksbury. And you know, here we are, just scrolling Twitter right now, or X if you prefer, and you see someone tweeted out, "This sucks." No extra context, no nothing. Another one is, "Call the penalty shot." What game are we talking about?
My guess is the Carolina game. I don't know.
Maybe.
The hockey game. I have no idea. I put a tweet out. I put a hashtag. You'd be proud.
Yeah.
I put a tweet out yesterday of the game. It was about, like, Edwards and Randall getting locked down, and the bench is the whole reason they were the Wolves were in the game. Hashtag, I think it was, hashtag NBA Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
If you're going to social media the right way.
Hashtags are there for a reason.
Oh, man. Maybe I'm an old man yelling at a cloud. I don't care, but
I feel like when social media first started, especially X, like, hashtags were big.
Big time.
And now, like, they kind of just died out a little bit. Obviously, they're still big, but I remember when I first got on X, like, 10, 15 years ago, whatever it was, the hashtags were huge. Now it's just not a thing.
Not even a thing. It's wild. It is wild. Yeah, nobody ever uses them anymore. So, kind of crazy. All right, some high school boys tennis from the weekend. Congratulations go to the Harrisburg squad. They take care of business as they down the rest of the field. Sioux Falls Lincoln, O'Gorman, Yankton, and Rapid City Stevens rounding out the top five there. Aberdeen Central collectively out of 14 squads finished in eighth place. Not too shabby at all. As Gustavo Carrara, he lost in the championship semifinals, then defeated Ben Pekus from O'Gorman 10-9-1 to finish in third place. He was the highest finish there for Aberdeen Central. So kind of right there, middle of the pack there in AA tennis action. A good season for Coach Kurtz's crew, I'd say.
Yeah, I think he's got to be happy with how they battled all season long. We've been talking about them all year and how they were able to compete. Gustavo Carrara, I mean, it's got to be difficult when you lose and then have to bounce back and battle the next day and come out with a victory. So I think it says a lot about a guy's character. We saw that with Gannon May for Aberdeen Roncalli. He lost, and then he battled back and finished in third. It's got to be tough to do because it's like, oh, you know, I want to finish first or whatever it may be, and now I got to go back out there. And, you know, that's where it becomes a pride thing at the end of the season, and those guys showed it for both Central and Roncalli over the last couple of days.
Yeah, it's not like the State B tournament or Double A or A for that matter. When you lose on a Friday, you got to go back on Saturday playing the Sunshine Bracket, or I guess Thursday you lose in that first round and mm-hmm. or something like that, and you got to wipe it and move on to Friday, and then of course Saturday. This is like a couple minutes later. Like you got to move on maybe an hour later, however long it is between matches and what have you. You don't really have time to wallow. You just got to get right back on that horse.
Yeah, and that's why I like kind of the mindset of these tennis players. Is it's like, hey, you just got to shake it off and get ready because, yeah, when you're talking about basketball, State A, State B, State AA tournaments, at least you have that kind of day to kind of, like you said, recoup and get back out there. You don't have the opportunity at these, and that's why I say these kids have a lot of heart and passion.
High school golf action from this last Friday for the second time in as many days. The Aberdeen Central girls golf squad, they picked up a win along that I-29 corridor, this time down south in Brandon, which ironically enough is where they're at here today. Aberdeen Central boasted three of the top four finishes on the leaderboard, led by junior Olivia Braun. She was the only player under par for the afternoon, a 3-under 68. Her teammate Emma Dore placed second. She was an even par 71. Kylie Weyerbaugh finished fourth, a 6-over 77 for the afternoon. As Aberdeen Central, they finished make it 14 strokes ahead of second place Mitchell. O'Gorman, Brandon Valley, and Yankton rounding out the top five there. Braun in first, Dore second, Maddie Childs there in third place, a 1-over par, while Weyerbaugh and Olsen rounded out at the top five. And I think you said something to me off the air. I think it's a really salient point. You look at some of these girls that Aberdeen Central has, with the exception of Olivia Braun, because she's the quote-unquote pick to click, mm-hmm. but like Emma Dore, Kylie Weyerbaugh, those gals would be numero uno on a lot of AA squads across the entire state.
Yeah. I was just looking at it and saying, hey, Emma Dore, she'd probably be the number one golfer on so many of these other schools.
Like half.
Yeah, half. Yeah, exactly. Same with Weyerbaugh. I mean, a 6-over 77, you're going to take that any day of the week. But Braun, she can rack up birdies. That's the thing that you see. Like, she gets hot, and then she's able to just kind of, you know, get those pars and just keep it there. But she can get hot. And not to say that, you know, Dore and Weyerbaugh, they're really good. But when you can rack up those birdies, you can finish with a 68 under par, you know. Or I mean, Emma Dore, an even 71, you're going to take that any day. And that would have been first outside of Braun. So it's just amazing, though, how Braun can just rack up those birdies. Like, she can have two in a row and then par, 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 par. Two in a row, par. It's amazing what she could do.
What was it, down south in Brookings on Thursday? She opened up with five of her first six holes being birdies, or 4 out of 6 or something like that. I mean, you're sitting in the clubhouse, you know, after the front nine, and you're like, where's everybody else behind? Oh, I guess I'm a cut above everybody else.
Yeah.
Must be nice.
Yeah, I mean, I went birdie par in my round, one of my rounds, and I thought I was the man. And then I went double-double. Well, it's like, okay, that was great. But she's able to get birdies and then be able to get those pars to follow it to keep her where she's at. And then if she does have a blow up hole like a bogey or a double, she's able to bounce back with another birdie. And that's what kind of stands out to me now that we're going basing it all off of stats, what she's done at holes. I haven't watched her play, but just from looking at this, that's what I'm seeing, and that kind of what separates her from some of the others.
Really good start for the junior in her high school career, her just golf career in general, and all these girls for that matter. And matter of fact, they're just underway down south there in Brandon right now as they're back in action. They had a practice round, I think, yesterday on Memorial Day. We had Coach Zimmerman in this last Wednesday. He was saying, we got a practice round, then we've got there again, and then, of course, state in the not-too-distant future.
Plus, the conditions were phenomenal over the weekend. Little to no wind, you can attack the pin when things are that going, when you got that weather going on. Now, I know Braun likes to play in the wind.
What a cyborg. What a cyborg thing to say.
But it really is. I mean, she likes to play in the wind, but
who says that?
I don't know.
It's like, I don't mind. I actually kind of like it.
I like playing in the wind.
What do you mean?
What in the wind? I don't know where my ball's going in the wind.
she AI? I mean, we had like an AI conversation with somebody. Wind doesn't bother me. I kind of like it, really.
I like playing in the wind. She'd rather play in the wind than the rain.
I'm the exact opposite. You know, I kind of don't mind the rain. Now, not quite like the putting for paws with you, me, and Aston, and Randall. Man, that was interesting. But, yeah, playing in the wind is just brutal.
That's brutal. And she's able to just – she talked a lot about the mental aspect of the game, and that's where she's strong. But you got to think the conditions helped out these golfers over the weekend.
We'll keep our eyes on the leaderboard, and we'll keep you posted on that in our two-minute sports update for tomorrow. And we'll get the story posted, I'm sure, by end of day here today, how all the high schoolers do down south there at Brandon's Place. Coming up next, speaking of Brandon, we're going to talk with Mr. Luisi, Brandon Luisi. He'll be joining us coming up next, talking some Bismarck hockey after this on Fox Sports Aberdeen.
Beaumont makes the one-timer. Works the top of the circle, switches place with Rafalski, who's got it now. Tries to go back out to Beaumont. Pass picked off and held in by the Cats. Into the middle, Beaumont 3-on-1 from Cats. Hunter, middle, Beaumont on the back check. Cross, what's there? Score! Tommy!
And that's the play-by-play voice of the Bismarck Bobcats, Brandon Luisi. He joins us on the phone line. Of course, the national champs of the Bismarck Bobcats. Brandon, thanks for taking some time this morning. How are you, sir?
Great. Thank you for having me on the show. Really appreciate y'all reaching out.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure for sure. And usually when we've got a guest on, first-time guest, drop in one of these. So appreciate that. And the folks on X or Facebook or any form of social media didn't do you any favors because we wanted to hear the rest of the call. Tommy, what a great shot. What was the rest of that play? What was the rest of the call? We missed it because they cut you off there on social media.
Yeah. So Tommy, he had quite a bit of a fan club over in that section. So they were kind of perched up by me in the broadcast booth over at Fogarty Arena. So I just mentioned that Tommy was heading over to his fan club to celebrate along the boards on our defensive zone there.
For sure. And Brandon, appreciate you joining us on the show. And, you know, can you just kind of talk about the run for Bismarck this year? I mean, you're down 0-2 in a hole there. We talked about it at the start of the show. You win three straight there, and then you still got to play games. Yes, it was a great, you know, comeback and great series win, but you got to almost flip the page, if you will, and move on to the next round, and you guys were able to do that, and here you are at the end of the season being able to hoist a trophy at the end.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and that was the kind of mentality, even when we went down 0-2 in that series against Aberdeen. It's, hey, you know, turn the page. It's a new weekend. We take it one game at a time. We don't look at the bigger picture in that sense, and, you know, going into that final game, we, you know, there were kind of some conflicting statistics, right? Well, the Bobcats were 5-0 in elimination games, but also they had never won a game one in the series throughout the entire run of the playoffs. So it was one of those things where we had a very mature group. A lot of our guys were 0-4s, aging out at the end of the season. They understood the task at hand and they went to work, and every guy bought in.
Brandon Luisi, play-by-play voice of the Bismarck Bobcats, joining us on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Brandon, I think maybe your just last response there might have even kind of been a prelude to this next question. To the response here is, why wasn't there any panic when you're down 0-2 to the Aberdeen Wings? Is it just the fact that they were so seasoned and so grizzled?
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, they understood the game plan and they understood what they needed to execute. It was a lot of you know, a lot of understanding after those first two games. Aberdeen is a heck of a team, and they gave us a lot to handle, literally everything we could handle. And taking games one and two in Bismarck, you know, Aberdeen obviously plays that physical style. So it was a little bit of an adjustment, and we knew that, you know, it was the two hottest teams in the North American Hockey League facing off. The Bobcats ended the regular season 13 straight wins, and Aberdeen ended 9 straight wins. So one team had to lose, and the Bobcats lost those first two. So going into Aberdeen, which is a tough barn to play in, it was one of the biggest crowds I've ever seen at the Odie on that Friday night. We just kind of tuned it out and then went to work on Friday.
I'm interested to hear your perspective, broadcaster's perspective there from the just the playoff overtime type atmosphere. What's going through your head? I mean, those Wings Bismarck games, a couple of them went overtime. More than a couple, a few went overtime.
I feel like the entire series was played in overtime.
Yeah, the entire series was played in overtime. I mean, it had to be pretty nerve-wracking up there in the press box from your perspective, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah, you look especially at game four in a situation where if Aberdeen were to get that goal, it would end our season. So I kid you not, in that Odie where calling the game kind of vertically, I was about on my hands and knees looking through the bars in the first overtime, but that second overtime, man, it just got more and more kind of loud in the arena just because, you know, the fans, you're just trying to rile up your players, and it was a great atmosphere, both arenas and both fan bases. Obviously, a couple of cornerstones in the Central Division with the Bobcats being around for the past about 20-some-odd years and then Aberdeen the last 15 years or so as well.
So, Brandon, tell us a little bit about yourself. How'd you come across becoming the play-by-play voice for the Bismarck Bobcats? How did you become that voice? Was it something that you have connections to Bismarck, or is it just an opportunity that presented itself to you? How did that whole thing kind of come to be for you?
Yeah, it's actually really funny. Last year, I was the play-by-play voice for the Odessa Jackalopes, so the same league, the North American Hockey League, just in the South Division. And then that opportunity kind of didn't work out. So I was actually working at my local Panera Bread for the start of the season. And I'm a part of a quote-unquote talent agency, FTAA. A lot of the broadcasters in the league are a part of it. And a job posting came up and said an anonymous North American Hockey League team was hiring for a broadcaster. And so I reached out. And I think in our industry, that's pretty much what you just do. And then, you know, about a month later, we were already into the season. At this point, it was about mid-November. And I came out, and all of a sudden, I was like, man, I fell in love with the city of Bismarck. It's one of the best cities I've ever lived in. And for the rest was history from there on, November through the end of May here, calling Bobcat hockey, and then eventually calling a Robertson Cup championship game.
Was it difficult at all? Because you were kind of thrown right into the fire. I mean, it's like, okay, yeah, we're already in the middle of the season here, and here you are moving to Bismarck and things of that. So can you just talk about the adjustment there for you?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. My first game was against the North Iowa Bulls at home. I flew out there on a Thursday, and the game was on Friday, and I had not met a single player on the team. I was just meeting the coaches. So, you know, Thursday and Friday was tireless prep work of just trying to learn names, learn numbers, kind of line combinations, while also prepping for a North Iowa Bulls team that I had never called a game against either. So two brand new teams in about 24 hours to prep. So, yeah, a lot of coffee that night and a lot of late nights, and eventually it all worked out. But, yeah, it was definitely a bit difficult for the first couple of weeks, but then you get to know the players on a personal level and their stories as well, which, I mean, that just makes it easier as time goes on.
And when you're writing your memoir when you're 75 years old, it's, you know, you're busy making tuna on toast and yada, yada, yada. A couple months later, you're hoisting a Robertson Cup. That's pretty crazy how that happened for you. And congratulations. As we're talking with Brandon Luisi, play-by-play voice of the Bismarck Bobcats on Fox Sports Aberdeen. So the team, of course, gets passed through the Aberdeen Wings. They move on to the next round. They take care of business there. We've been kind of having this conversation for a couple of years now is, do you like the playoff format? I mean, it goes best of five, and then you got a one championship. It's just one game, and it's kind of like you've just gone through this excruciatingly long playoff, and it's just a one-game Robertson Cup championship. Do you like it? Do you hate it? Is it just kind of one of those deals, hey, it is what it is, and that's the way it goes?
Yeah, I think it is one of those that it's just the way that it is, and I don't know if it's a scheduling thing or what, but yeah, you're exactly right. You do five games in the divisional semifinal, best of five in the divisional final, and then the semifinal is a best of three, and then that championship game is a one-off. So Yeah, it was really interesting this year, kind of unique. It was the first time since the Cup has gone to Fogarty Arena, which I believe was back in 2018. The first time that both the semifinals had gone three games. So it was a very unique scenario for the North American Hockey League, and having that quick turnaround of, okay, you have games Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you're 3-3, not very typical for the Central Division, and then having to play again on Tuesday. So, it is a little weird, but I will say for a crowd atmosphere standpoint, I don't know if I've ever seen a crowd like I did on that championship game. I mean, you had Brahma's fans from North Richland Hills, Texas, just, you know, take their flight or make their drive up just for that game. You know, they really wanted to propel their team to victory, and they had one heck of a traveling contingent. And obviously with Bismarck being about 6 hours, we had a lot of our fans, and having a lot of Minnesota kids on our team as well. We had a lot of parents and family there too that helped us in that sense. So yeah, in the sense of that one game, I think it creates for a good bit of drama for sure.
Yeah, I think it also kind of adds drama. Just these are teams you're not really facing throughout the season.
Right.
Obviously, you're playing Central Division teams pretty much throughout the year. Maybe that Blaine Showcase at the start of the year. I don't know if you guys took part in that, but you're playing the same six teams throughout the season, and then you finish up the Central Division Finals, and you take on the Rochester Junior Americans. My guess is you didn't know much about that squad as well as Lone Star heading into those series.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Once we had gotten past Austin, you know, our coach had mentioned that, okay, well, film's going to start, you know, the next day on Rochester. And, yeah, Rochester is such a skilled team. I mean, it was – seeing how they played in game one and outplayed us in those first two periods is like, holy crud. Like, they are a fast team who can really shoot the puck. They defend well. They're physical. And so for our guys, it's a matter of, hey, got to flip the page again. Same mantra as the rest of the playoffs and the rest of the regular season. Just flip the page, focus in on our tasks, what we have to do, where we have to be, and what our assignments are. And luckily in games two and three, we were able to get that out.
So does everybody get a day with the cup, with the Robertson Cup as well, or is that just an NHL thing? Do you get a chance to have a day with the cup there as the voice of the squad?
So that will stay up in Bismarck. The guys did have their fun when we got back into town on Wednesday. And they were just, we got greeted by our fans. We had our kind of a route back into town, and we had fans throughout that route lined up along the streets and then back at the rink as well, along with a little party of, hey, meet the champions and come get some autographs signed and your picture with the cup. The guys got to enjoy it for a little bit, a few days before they head back to town where they're all from and all that. So, but yeah, the Robertson Cup will be staying in Bismarck.
And playoff hockey, right, Brandon? I mean, there's got to be guys that show up in the biggest moments. We talked a little bit about, you know, Tommy Cronin, 13 points these playoffs, 3 goals, 10 assists. I mean, Julian Beaumont had a big playoffs as well. So those guys really stepped up in the playoff run. Some of those guys, you need that come playoff. You need your guys to produce, and those two guys really did a nice job. But a total team effort.
Absolutely. You are absolutely right. And you know, a lot of those guys could have been named a tournament MVP for the semifinals and finals. You look at our goaltender, too, Thomas Anderson, throughout the regular season had a 1.6 goals against average, which was third in the North American Hockey League, had a top three save percentage as well. He was our backbone of our team. He really stood tall in scenarios, and you know, the guys had a lot of confidence in him. Okay, if we make a mistake, you know, we have Thomas back there to kind of bail us out or at least give us a shot as well. So, you mentioned both Cronin and Beaumont. My goodness, throughout the season and the playoffs, You know, they were on a line together. It was Beaumont, Keanu, Kren who centered that line, ended the regular season on an absolute tear, and then Tommy Cronin on that right wing. And for a good chunk, they were our offensive line that really produced for us and we can count on. And, man, they continued that and stepped up in big ways throughout the playoffs. And I think that really that was a big thing for our team. We had a lot of depth. Any guy on any given night could strike and could have a big night. You look at the Austin series. In the final two games, Nick Snyder had three goals in his last two games, and he's an 07 forward who, this is his first year in the league, had about 30 games in the regular season, but he stepped up in a big time and helped us. So, yeah, truly, truly a team effort all around.
That sounds just like the Everdeen Wings and how close they were to maybe even being that team that was in that Robertson Cup. And they were right there with you guys, and that was a great series there too. So appreciate you doing this here, Brandon. Is this it now for you as the voice of the Bobcats? Is this like a rolling, like they move on to another guy next year? Or is it you stay with the program until, you know, maybe you find something new? Or are you back next year? How does that whole thing kind of work out?
Yeah, so as of right now, I will be back next season. I'll be back in Bismarck in August. And right now, I transitioned to part-time and rolling out with some graphics and some social media stuff and all that. So the plan right now, I'll be back in Bismarck in August.
All right, right on. Well, safe travels back here to Bismarck in the not-too-distant future. Appreciate you being a part of the program here today, and congratulations on being able to call a Robertson Cup championship. Pretty special deal.
Hey, thank you guys so much.
Our pleasure, for sure. That's Brandon Luisi. He is the lead voice there of the Bismarck Bobcats on Fox Sports Aberdeen 1420 and 98.5. And maybe it was the fact that we had him on the program today. I tweeted out this last weekend, I just really want to call a playoff game for Northern State football, trying to kind of manifest that. But, you know, when you're calling playoff action, you know, you're going to see that certainly with Aberdeen Roncalli. I mean, they're always there in the playoffs, be it a state tournament game or a SODAC 16, what have you. I mean, there's just something different about playoff hockey, especially.
Yeah, playoff hockey, and then being able to call a couple overtime games is a completely different animal. I would have been sweating. That's all I know, just with some of those games, especially in that wing series. And I'm glad he brought up the goalie, Anderson, because you always talk about running into a hot goalie. And he was the backbone of that team. And you could see it even in the wing series. When Wings, I mean, they won a game 1-0 in this playoff series against Bismarck. So he really stepped up, and they got just a total team effort. I mean, Keanu Kren, he mentioned him. He really hurt the Wings in that series against Aberdeen. But, yeah, congratulations to them. I think it adds fuel to the fire if you're a Wings fan. That's for sure. I actually, when Bismarck won, I texted Cy. And that's exactly what I said. You know, this is unfortunate because the Wings maybe could have been in that position, but you got to think it adds fuel to the fire coming into the 25-26 season.
They were so close.
They really were.
So close. I mean, you're talking about a couple plays here or there in that series. And I guess you can say that about any sport and any series, whatever. If, you know, this pitch is called 6 inches this way, it's strike three, all those sorts of things. But they were so close, the Wings were. And I got to believe that if the Wings get past Bismarck, maybe we're having a conversation with Cy in studio or Coach Langer about their day with the Robertson Cup.
Yep.
So it's just kind of the way it works. And Bismarck, of course, that team this year. We'll come on back on this Tuesday and wrap it up after this.
It's in sun. Tomorrow, chance for storms, 70. Right now, it's 61 degrees.
Final segment for your Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. A loaded weekend of high school action. Check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for full and complete details. We had the track and field events of the Dial-A-Move Last Chance Meet, as well as the Arlington Last Chance Meet. Check out our full website, hubcityradio.com, for all the details there from this last weekend. And also of note on the wrestling side of things, NSU head coach Josh Nolan announced the addition of Wyatt Turnquist to the Wolves coaching staff there as well. So it's going to be a pretty young program. I mean, I feel like it's always been a young program. Coach Burkett, a pretty young head coach anyway. But they're going to have a lot of youth next year, and I just look forward to seeing what that program looks like going forward, because I think Coach Burkett did an incredible job kind of setting the table, and we'll see what the rest of the squad can do going forward there. And just looking forward to seeing what they've got in store, and you know, at some point in time, we'll have to reach out to those guys and get them both on the Sports Hub at some point in time. Also, on the golf side of things, right now you've got just a couple of holes already underway down south in Brandon, and no point even really giving the numbers there because you got 16 holes to go. So there's no point being like, oh, so-and-so is one over or even. So that'll continue to develop throughout the day. Twins are on a cold streak. They've lost two straight. They're back in action tonight at 6:05 against the Tampa Bay Rays. They're now sitting five games back of first-place Detroit. And, of course, don't forget the Aberdeen Smitties. They return to the Legion Baseball Diamond tomorrow. They'll take on Watertown Post 17. That'll be at 5-7, respectively, on HubCityRadio.com. Presented by Culver's of Aberdeen with Ryan Martin on the play-by-play as baseball season is back.
Yeah, it is. And the Smitties are getting some of them super seniors coming back, too, adding some more additions to the squad. So they're going to be ready to go after some time off between the high school season and now Legion here coming up tomorrow.
We're getting down into the nitty-gritty on the high school stuff too as well. High school softball, you've got the SODAC 16 for Class B and Class A today, so as well as AA for that matter. And high school baseball, you've got the Class B state tournament wrapping up today as well.